What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had an amazing weekend. It's Monday. We're rising. We're grinding. And speaking of rising and grinding, shout out to my favorite hustler, Jackie O.
Shout out to the girl on bed rest, rising and grinding.
She's rising. She's grinding. She's getting back in bed and she's doing it all again.
She's resting.
Do you like my voice?
No, I don't. But what do we owe it?
I don't know. It's just something I'm trying out.
Is this a new personality? Do I have to come up with a new name for you? Where's Turdy Lou? I miss her.
Turdy Lou's right here.
Thank God.
I just get like stuck in voices sometimes and you can't get out of it.
You're telling me?
Yeah.
I've been stuck in the camper for 5 years.
She wrote a whole book about it.
That's the best way to get out of it is to put it down on paper, publish
honey,
it.
Honey, put it in the book.
Put it in the book. Give it to the world. Just a reminder that my children's book is available for pre-sale now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. If you want to support small bookshops, Target, Walmart, wherever you shop, check it out. It's so much fun. I was reading it all weekend. I took it home from the studio because Harry was like, Mama, where's my favorite book?
Oh, you gave birth to Jason Momoa? Harry was like, Mama?
By the way, Claudia, I know that we used to roast Jason Momoa for like seeing... Actually, it was weird because it was... A woman he saw on TV, he wasn't saying it to his actual mama.
Let's just quickly explain the originator of our mama joke. It's probably 5 years old.
Yes. Yeah, so Jason Momoa, Aquaman, Khal Drogo, he used to be married to Lisa Bonet.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got divorced recently. But he used to tell this story of how growing up, like, he saw her on TV.
The Cosby Show.
Yeah. And he, like, pointed at the TV and said, Mama. Like,
and it would be a cute story if he, you know, ended up being, you know,
adopted
her son. Like, Mama? Like, what? I just remember everyone being like, oh, how cute. I'm like, wait, Mama?
Yeah, no, it was really weird. But what I wanted to say about Justice for Jason Momoa is that is how Harry says Mama. Like, that is the inflection. He says,
Harry's your son.
No, I know. But now I'm seeing it from a mother's point of view. What if he was pointing to the TV and, like, trying to get his mom's attention? Like, Mama, her, you know?
Okay.
I could see Harry doing that. Like, trying to show me the woman he's going to marry and saying, Mama.
Right, like when he watches My Special Disgrace Queen, he, like, points at the TV and he says, Mama, I'm going to marry that woman.
Yeah, sure.
We're so toxic when it comes to Harry. Like, you know what? Don't even care.
Don't even.
No. One thing about me, I'm not caring.
No, he loves it.
I'm so obsessed. I need to see him. Like, he was so busy all weekend.
He was busy all weekend, but you were really busy this weekend. This was the first weekend that you weren't here. I mean,
it was the first weekend that I took for myself.
You know, it's really true. I feel like you've been, like, hanging around the city because you just, like, want to support me and be there for me.
Yeah.
And you did your own thing this weekend, which I'm happy for you that you did that. But I also could, like, feel the separation anxiety between you and Harry. I was feeling it from
was
him,
tough.
Too.
No, like, it was tough.
But you're back.
But I had a great weekend. But it was tough.
Yeah, tell us about your weekend. It looked really great. You were with a bunch of influencers. You were just kind of, like, on your influencer grind.
I know. Like, you know, I sometimes, like, go to things or just, like, it's usually when I hang out with Remy because Remy's such an influencer that, like, I really am reminded, like, I'm an influencer, you know? I just don't identify as an influencer, but, like, being with all the influencers, like, I had the best time. Like, influencers, they really are so fun. So I went to the Hamptons for the weekend one, just because like I wanted to, you know, have a nice weekend. But two, there was a music festival out there this weekend that I've actually never been to, but people go to every year. And like, it always looks fun. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll go this year. It's Palm Tree Festival. It's, I think it's like owned by Kygo. And Kygo performed, Calvin Harris performed. And it was just like a bunch of good DJs lined up. And it was really fun. Like me and Ben had the best time. Mostly I had a good time because like I was wearing these pants.
Well, yeah, and your pants were what made you an influencer, because those were
They were influencer
pants an influencer would wear.
They were influencer pants, but they were also like rave girl pants, you know?
Yeah, sort of. Like dubstep pants.
Like I forget what the dance move is that like people do at raves.
Where you put your one foot in front and then in back.
It's like the mashed potato.
100%. But when you say rave girl, I think like EDC.
No. I'm thinking of like, what is that move called? It's like the dub or whatever. Like, it's literally the mashed potato, but it's now being done at raves and it has a new name.
Yeah.
It's like two-stepping, dubstepping.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I feel like other people do too.
Please just drop a comment. Like, I was trying to make the joke all night, but I couldn't remember what the fucking dance was called.
And when you say rave girl is like Dolls Kill energy. Yeah, yeah. That's not what you were putting off.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, like, the pants were giving me, like, this alter ego. And I was just, like, walking around like I owned the festival. Because, like, I looked like I did with my pants. Mm-hmm. But I had such a good time. Me and Ben just, like, really, we, like, chilled all weekend. It was kind of rainy, which was annoying. But, like, we stayed at Canoe Place, which, by the way, you would love. Like, I know you love, like, a drivable cottage vibe.
Cottage vibe, yes, I do.
So, it was 90 minutes from the city because it was in West Hampton. It was drivable. It was cottage vibes. They have a spa, a pool. Ooh. It's, like, brand new. It's so cute. And they serve spritz, just, like, added bonus.
And it's strice-friendly.
I have to assume. I didn't ask, but it was so dog friendly, like just in the energy. Mm-hmm. I assume it's strice friendly. I should have brought Theo. I didn't realize we'd be staying at like a cottage that had like its own backyard. Like I really could have brought Theo. And it was like me and Ben were yesterday. We were like, we're both working from home on Monday. Like we could just stay one more day, but we honestly didn't want to spend one more minute away from Stry.
Ugh, but if he was there, two birds, one stone. I actually didn't even know you came home last night. I thought I might be podcasting remotely with you from the Hamptons again.
We could have.
You've been so mysterious.
I'm so mysterious. What, you didn't see a picture of me in my car?
No, but also you could be in your car like going to dinner in the Hamptons.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It was kind of, you know, my first weekend away with the car, me and Ben, it was like a 90-minute drive there, 90-minute drive back. Both there and back, we did not stop talking about our car. Like, we were like, how amazing is this? Like, we're just like have the freedom. Like, you know, usually we use Ben's parents' cars. So, like, if we had wanted to extend, we would have had to call and say, is that okay? And, like, arrange. But, no, we're so free. We just, like, we literally were talking the whole weekend about our freedom.
So what you're saying is freedom is a highway.
Freedom is a high. And you know what? This weekend was kind of just, like, filled with fast cars and freedom.
Damn. I mean, that is how I feel about Tesla. Just, like, right. So free. So I understand. I understand the hype. If I hadn't just gotten a new car, like maybe I wouldn't be able to participate in this conversation, but I totally understand.
No, it wouldn't be a weekend away if I didn't have to unburden myself. So I will go.
So here you go. Wait, I had more questions though before you get to the negative. Let's focus on the positive still because you were with fellow influencers. One of my favorite girlies, Juliet Porter. You guys know I'm obsessed with Siesta Key. But did you see Alex Earle? Because I saw she was there.
I did see Alex Earle. I saw Alex Earle. We were like in the same table area. So I went over and said hi to her because I had met her at a Rare Beauty event and we've like DM'd a bunch. And like, you know, when you're talking to someone, like you know for a fact that they have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
So she was so polite, but like homegirl had no idea. And that's fine. She meets a lot of people, but like, I thought we connected.
She's met so many people in the last year.
I can't even be mad because we've literally met once. And no offense, like
you look different every day.
So true. Not spinning this into a positive.
No, totally. Like, I feel like you need to take into account that, like, if you met someone 6 months, no, 6 months, and but a year ago, like, you're a different turdy.
No, it's so true. It's so true. I wasn't even mad. Like, I can only imagine how many people, like, are up her ass. And I was just another one of them, you
and
know?
How many people feel that way about you, that you don't know who they are when you're talking to them.
Wow. So true.
Perspective.
Yeah, no, she was so nice. And like there was like it was influencer central and it was really fun. Like everyone was like just really getting lit. I was, you know, deeply unwell and there was quite a bit of walking around and I was wearing these like really big platform sneakers. And when I tell you my calves are on fire literally 2 days later. I will never wear big shoes like that to like a festival ever again because I can't feel my legs.
You live in New
York. I was like, why do my legs hurt so much? And I realized I was like literally wearing ankle weights. Okay, but to the unburden yourselves, ready?
Okay.
So, you know, a festival is never like an easy place to go to the bathroom. And there were like, you know, bathrooms. The line was so long. And I was like, I'm sorry. No. So I went into like this parking lot where like a bunch of people's cars were parked and it was empty because everyone was inside the festival. This was just a parking lot. So I like went behind a car. I chose like a big one. I chose like a big Sprinter and I just peed. Like it was not a big deal. It was easy. Like right behind, pull my pants down, peed, all good. And I'm walking towards the front of the car and the person in the driver's seat like knocks and rolls the windows down and he was fully in the car. The car was on. I was peeing right in front of the rear view camera. And he was just hysterically laughing. I guess I didn't account for, like, you know, somebody having hired, like, a car service and the driver waiting. Right. I thought, you know, it would be all empty cars. He couldn't have been nicer. Honestly, he didn't even make me feel, like, weird or anything. He was like, good for you, you know, the line. I was like, oh, yeah. He unburdened it for me because he was so cool.
And so he didn't mention anything about you not wiping?
He didn't mention anything about my unmentionables. No.
That's good. Were you facing him or, like, did he see your butt?
I was – my ass was facing the car.
So your ass was facing, in his face.
Yeah, my ass was in his face.
Cool. Yeah, no wonder he was fine with it.
Yeah, no, he got a show.
Free show from the turdy.
Free show from the turdy. And you know what? I peed two more times after that and I kept going back to the same spot. A little bit more discreetly, but, like, I knew it was a safe space for me.
Did you bring any, like, tissue paper?
No. Not you getting, like, fixated on the fact that I didn't wipe. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Three times?
What was I supposed to do?
You're going
to
get an irritation.
No, totally. I was wearing a bodysuit. I'm literally going to get a UTI.
Literally.
I should take my Eucora. I'm feeling fine.
Okay, that's good.
And I'll let you know. Okay. If it starts to get any, you know, burning or itching.
Well, I'm glad you were able to unburden yourself. I'm glad you had a great weekend. I feel like every time you lean into the influencer life, like, you love it.
No, I know, but, like, I can't, like, dive head deep, or whatever Ben says, head first, head deep, into influencer life, because it's honestly, it'll suck you in.
It'll
suck you in.
It's so true.
I can't.
You have to keep your head above water.
Yeah. No, and then I'm going to be, like, walking around thinking I'm Alex Earl. I'm like, we know I'm not.
Sure, but, like, I feel like everyone kind of walks around thinking they're Alex Earl, and they're, like, much further off than you are. So why not
turdy?
That's
true. Why not? Oh, my God. I'm, like, literally choking. Sorry. I drink Pellegrino. Bad, big mistake. Shouldn't drink carbonation while I podcast.
You do it every single day with your LaCroix, but okay.
LaCroix is, like, not carbonated.
No, it's not. But
no, like,
but
I know technically.
But not as carbonated as those first few sips of Pellegrino from a bottle.
Pellegrino from a bottle hits different.
And the first few sips could take your eyes out.
They could take your esophagus out. Like, it's so spicy.
I know. But then it gets really, like, stale really fast.
Yeah, that's true.
They should work on that.
100%.
The extremes. You know what I watched last night? So randomly. Like, Zach just put a movie on cable. Okay. But I had never seen it. So I was just taken in by it. The Martian.
Matt Damon?
Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched something like good in a while. I should really seek out. I just really like enjoyed it. And I came in the middle. So I was still like putting stuff together. And we have like a really small TV in the living room. And like I could barely hear anything. But I really liked it.
Well, imagine like if you watched it on a real TV, how much you would enjoy it.
Imagine if I like saw it in theaters from the beginning and not with commercials.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was a horrible experience. And
it was
still
on cable?
Yeah, and I still really enjoyed it. At some point, I should have just, like, stopped it, went to a streaming service, and, like, found the movie. I'm sure it's on Max or something.
Yeah.
You see me adapting to the rebrand, Max?
Maximilian.
I dropped the HBO. but I didn't do that, and I should have. And now, like, the movie's kind of ruined for me. That's, like, when I watched Gone Girl, and I came in the middle. And so I never had that moment of spoiler alert. Like, not knowing if she was alive or dead. Because I came in and she's in the car talking to herself about her big plan.
So true, by the way. That also watching like a real movie for the first time on cable, it should never be done. Very recently.
And they cut stuff out too.
Like, it's made for TV.
Yeah, they cut out like transitional scenes, all these things.
Ben and I watched The Help. It was on E! Like a month ago. I've seen it 1,000 times. Ben has never seen it. He thought it was the most amazing movie. I'm like, I really should turn this off and like put it on. But he was like enthralled. Like I couldn't touch the clicker.
No, that was me with The Martian last night. It's like, I guess it's better to have watched a movie on cable with commercials and cuts than never to have seen it at all.
So true. Jackie, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much. And now I should go and like watch it from the beginning. For real. But
Nah,
I got the gist. Anyway, so it was nice because it's been a while since I watched something good, and we were FaceTiming on, what night was that? Saturday night?
Yeah, after I left the festival, we FaceTimed.
Yeah, and I had just watched, officially, the worst piece of shit I ever saw in my life. And I want to take back everything negative I've been talking about TV in general, because nothing was as bad as what I watched on Saturday night.
Wait, I was like so blackout, I don't even remember what you're talking about.
And just like that, season 2, episode 1.
Oh my God, wait.
Do you not remember this conversation?
I do not remember this conversation.
Oh my God, you were cracking up at my takes.
Okay, because I watched the first episode, but I didn't finish it yet.
I know you did, but you didn't finish it. I know.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because we had this conversation, but I'll enlighten you. Oh my God, the worst show I've ever seen. I did not watch season 1, but Zach did. So he was like, can I watch the new episode? So I was like, yeah, I was reading anyway. So I was just like not planning on really watching. But I was sucked in by how terrible it was. Like,
I know.
Not even the show itself, the writing. Like,
yeah,
even
cringe.
Like, everything is so cringe. Even scenes between, like, beloved, you know, Charlotte and Harry.
Yep.
They don't have their same, like, dynamic. It's everything was making me cringe so, so hardcore. Also, now there's 8 main characters,
Yes, yes. Oh, you didn't see the first season.
No, but Seema, I watched the recap of the first season previously.
So Miranda's law professor, and Miranda's not even in law school anymore, so I don't really know why the women would still be, like, hanging out with her. And Seema. Actually, I like Seema. She's very fabulous and cute.
I don't have an issue with their storylines or whatever, but, like, 8 people is a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, well, I watched an interview Cynthia Nixon did. It's clear they're, like, overcorrecting the fact that, like, there was not a singular black person on the original show. And it was, like, so white. And, like, so now, Cynthia was like, you know, I loved our show. It was, like, a perfect show, except for, and so now they're, like, adding additional characters to, like, be more representative. And it is a lot of main characters. Like, honestly, I know this is, like, going to be a hot take, but, like, I could live without Charlotte. Now that I have, like, everyone, like, Charlotte's not, like, bringing much. Except the only thing she really brings is Harry.
Yeah, but even he was, like, meh, you know? They weren't giving what they used to give. Carrie is just insufferable talking about how, like, you know, she has this Thursday nights with her podcast producer, and he wants to go out on Tuesday. And, like, and she kept having that conversation with every 8 people in the show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is, you're 60.
Yeah.
If you want to go out on Tuesday, go out on Tuesday. And if you don't, don't. But, like, this isn't the Sex and the City of yore.
It's not the Sex and the City of yore. It feels like all the characters, like, all the actors who are acting with one another, like, are meeting for the first time. Like, there's no familiarity, and there's no, you're just so aware that everyone's acting.
No, and the way that the lines are delivered, like, it was really about the writing. Like, it was so staged and phony, and, like, it was so bad. Like, the quality of the show was so bad. I was in shock. And, like, the writing was so, like, butt-clenching. I was clenching my butt.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
No, and it's, like, for me, I've had this renaissance in the last few years with the original show. And I love Miranda so much. And I feel like she I think out of all of them, she's the one with the most defined personality. And I just don't see this journey that she's on, just kind of, like, leaving her family behind and moving to California and following around Che. Like,
And Che's like, go away.
Yeah.
And then Miranda, like, maybe I missed a scene, but, like, Miranda confronts her, like, why don't you want me around? And then Che's like, because I'm on a diet.
What?
You didn't get there yet. Like, I guess Miranda was trying to be touchy with her, and, like, Che went on a diet for her show or something. And so she was feeling, like, insecure about her belly. But it's like, but why'd you tell her to leave the comedy store?
Okay, I don't really get it. But
maybe I missed a scene. No, but like that's what I mean. Like it was just like these leaps.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like Miranda, this is so uncharacteristic of Miranda. Like we know Miranda. She's a creature of habit. Like she, you know, she gets the same thing at the Chinese food place that the person knows her order. Like this whole like throwing caution to the wind and leaving behind like her very stable family life to like have some sort of midlife crisis is not something Miranda would do. Like if you know Miranda, you know how like borderline like boring she is. Like she just does the same thing all the time and she likes that.
Yeah, but I think
that's why she chose Steve.
But that's exactly what a midlife crisis is.
I know, but like of all the people, like Miranda is not susceptible to a midlife crisis.
No, but okay, maybe. But I also think the person who is boring and does the same thing and always makes the same choices, like, is susceptible to a midlife crisis.
I guess. Like, maybe it's not a midlife crisis. Like, I don't know. I don't.
I'm not getting midlife crisis vibes from her, except when she was, like, in the early scenes when she's, like, in L.A., and she, like, loves L.A. But actually, that reminded me of in Sex and the City when they go to L.A.
She hates L.A.
Oh, I thought she loved L.A.
No, they all ended up hating it.
I thought she loved it until that guy chewed his food and spit it out.
Yeah. She was like, oh, maybe I could get with this. And she's like, no, this is all a facade.
No, that kind of happened in that episode, too. She's, like, doing, like, the cryo chamber and everything. She's like, I love this life. And then she, like, gets some salt water in her eye. And she's like,
oh, goodbye. That part I did see.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to tell you really quick about another show that I watched. But before I do, let me just let you know that today's episode is brought to you by eBoost. So if you're looking for a nice little shot of energy, something to keep you sustained throughout the day, check out eBoost Superfuel. It's non-GMO, it's soy-free, it's vegetarian, and it's gluten-free. It has no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. It's less than 15 calories per can, and it only has 1 to 2 grams of sugar. So if you struggle with everyday energy because you either, you know, were up late, working, studying, if you need an energy boost before or after a workout, if you've been traveling a lot, hungover, whatever it is, eBoost is a great option. You know, for me, I'm always looking for things to sustain my energy because I don't love coffee. And I really like Superfuel because it's low sugar, less than 15 calories per can, and it's formulated with vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, nootropics, not normally what you'd expect from an energy drink. So when we think energy drink, we think, you know, like bright color cans, lots of sugar, tons of calories, and it gives you that crash. Superfuel from eBoost is very different. It's created with natural caffeine from green coffee beans and green tea. So whenever we do drink Superfuel, we're given a steady dose of caffeine without the jitters. And eBoost is so confident that you're going to love Superfuel that they are going to give you a 4-pack for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Take advantage of this offer today and go to eboost.com/toast to get your free 4-pack of Superfuel. We keep them in the studio. I have them at my house. It's really a great alternative for people who live to do more every day, who thrive on the go and always have a new goal on the horizon. So again, they're giving away a 4-pack for free. When you go to eboost.com/toast, all you have to do is pay for shipping, eboost.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Kitsch. They say that hair care is the new skincare, but there is one brand that has taken it to the next level. With a cult-like following, Kitsch has created game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts are swearing by. From satin pillowcases to time-saving towels, Kitsch knows that hair care doesn't stop in the shower. So whatever your budget, whatever your skin or hair type, Kitsch believes that you deserve indulgences at affordable prices, morning, noon, and night. So everyone, I feel like, knows Kitsch for their satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks. If you're not in the satin game and you, like, wake up with a rat's nest every single day, use the satin pillowcase, use their satin eye mask. It's so good. It leaves your hair, like, without any, like, wrinkles in it. You know when you get, like, a mark from your scrunchie? It's really great. They also have heatless satin curling rollers that everyone on TikTok are obsessed with. There's no heat damage. They are original OG heatless curlers. And you can wake up with, like, a fresh, bouncy, delicious blowout. They also have rice water shampoo bars that could help with overall hair growth and density, and rosemary scalp oil that helps support scalp health and hair strength from root to tip, and so much more. I love their rosemary scalp oil. Everyone knows I'm on, like, my hair regrowth journey. And the satin pillowcase has really changed my life. Jackie told me for, like, weeks to get a satin pillowcase. Months. And I didn't listen. And now I finally did. And I swear it's so game-changing. And Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/toast. That's right. 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, mykitsch. .com/toast. One more time, that's mykitsch.com/toast for 30% off your order. Okay, I started this show last night that, like, everyone's obsessed with. Have you heard everyone talking about The Bear?
No.
It's on Hulu, and it's like Jeremy Allen White, who we were just talking about from Shameless. And I think everyone's just like obsessed with him. So like whatever they were going to watch, like whatever that he was going to be in, they were going to watch. And oh my God, it's literally so bad. I was just like, it's like 30 minute episodes. So the first one was bad. I'm like, okay, but you know what? Like we're setting the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second one was really bad. I'm like, oh, we must be missing something.
Yeah.
Third episode. Shit. The show, like, gives me anxiety. Everybody's always yelling at everyone. It's about this, like, sandwich shop. And, like, there's never any, like... It's meant, I think, to, like, glamorize, like, the... He's, like, this, you know, James Beard award-winning chef who, like, comes back to his hometown because his brother passed away. And he takes over his brother's sandwich shop. And he tries to, like, make it into, you know, he's, like, a French kitchen. Like, he tries...
Yeah.
And he was at this, like, really toxic New York restaurant that, like, you know, abused him. And, like... And, you know, it's like, yes, chef! Did you ever see the movie The Menu?
No.
It reminds me of that. It's just like high culinary experiences. Oh my God, the show is horrible. It's horrible. He's like trying to turn this like ragtag group of, you know, like cooks into like fancy chefs. Yes, chef, pommelier chef. And everyone's just yelling at each other. Like no one's listening to him, even though he owns the restaurant. Like it's such a bad show. Like I couldn't believe how people were talking about the show. I don't get it.
Well, it does sound like a good premise for a show, so I understand yes. how you were roped in. But no, and
his name in the show is Carmine, because they're like Italian, you know, a mm-hmm. family sandwich shop. But they call him Carmy. And it doesn't roll off the tongue whenever anyone says it. Like, it sounds like a fake name. Carmy!
Well, you know, Claudia, it is a fake name because it's television.
I know. And it's like, it's reminding me.
When you're watching television, you're not supposed to be so aware that it's so fake. And
that's exactly the feeling I get with And Just Like That.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And also what's crazy about it And Just Like That is like Carrie, like all throughout Sex and the City was just like this rising writer and, you know, career girl. And it's like, and now she has a podcast.
Once a week, Thursdays.
And it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like, you know, I chose a really great profession. So, like, that selfishly, like, is mm-hmm. nice. But it's just, like, all that to just have a podcast.
Well, she had a weekly column, and now she has a weekly podcast.
But she wrote books.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll do. She's new to the podcasting game. I do think, like, them switching her from being, like, a weekly columnist to a weekly podcast is actually a very good way of bringing the show into, like, the 21st century. I don't mind that. But you're right. She doesn't have that. She was like a driven girly.
Yeah, no, but also that would make sense if we were doing like Sex and the City reboot.
Younger.
With young people. And like the Carrie character has a podcast instead of a column. Like that makes perfect sense. But like she, not to be like ageist or anything. And it's not even about her age, but to like then graduate to a podcast.
Yeah, I guess.
After like years, like decades of a storied career in writing.
Yeah. She doesn't write anymore.
I know, but I can't think. And that's a waste.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even think of, like, a comparable person in real life who was, like, a really big writer who then became...
Like a digital...
A podcaster at... Like, some TV people who are, like, really big on TV now, like, do all digital stuff. Yeah. Which makes sense. It's kind of the same medium. But, like, I don't know. It's just something a little disappointing. Like, all that for a weekly podcast.
That's fair. No, and it's like people who have weekly podcasts more often than not have like other
things going
parts of their job, like whether they're content creators or bloggers or stand up. And so like podcasting is one part of their job, but it's not their whole job. But it seems like Carrie's just doing the podcast.
Right. And is her podcast successful?
Right. That would be an interesting like episode. Carrie, your numbers are dropping. Like do something.
Where's Carrie in the charts?
Where's
but
Carrie
if she's like,
charts?
If she's number one, you know, and she is like the biggest sex and relationship podcast, whatever, she's like the call her daddy of And Just Like That, then okay. But like, she's always been so career focused, and it's like, this is where she's at after years of hard work.
No, you're not wrong, Jax.
Because like, anyways, but as a podcaster, I do feel seen. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, it's like everybody wants a podcast.
And everyone can have one.
So
there's
true.
Room for everyone, Turdy.
There's room for everyone.
And then other than that, I read so much this weekend.
Me too.
Oh, I want you to update everyone on The Rose Code, and I want to know your final thoughts.
The Rose Code, historical fiction, World War II. I loved it. I really did. And I would have given it 5 stars, but there was absolutely no reason it should have been that long. Like, the book was over. Like, I was reading the book and it was like over, you know, everyone was like settling down. And in my Kindle, it said 30 minutes left. Like, there's no reason for that, you know?
There wasn't a final twist?
No.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. I loved the epilogue. The epilogue gave like a lot of context for what parts of the book were real, and then brought it back to like something that actually happened in 2014 with Kate Middleton. So I loved it. It was not my usual choice, but that's what a book club is for. I loved it. And the way I felt like so morally superior to like everyone in the past week, because like I was just reading this book and then I was like looking around at like Ben and like my friends and being like, I'm reading a book about like World War II and like I'm kind of like better than you. Like the book actually gave me like a real superiority complex.
Now you know how I feel.
Yeah, no, and like I was just like talking to people, and if they like didn't know about my book, like I was just like, oh, I can't, you're so dumb.
Uncultured swine.
Uncultured swine, like actually.
And I'm sure like you were the only influencer at Palm Tree Festival that was reading about World War II.
Yeah, and it was like nobody wanted to talk about Bletchley Park, you know, the famed secret underground mission by England to decode Nazi Morse code. Like, nobody wanted to talk about that. And I was like, well, you're not as smart as me.
It's disappointing when people don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. And now I want to watch the movie The Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah, because The Imitation Game is literally the book. But it can be really isolating when you're in that place.
When you're so much smarter than, like, even, you know, your own husband. It was difficult.
But that's why you have me.
And my book club.
And your book club. That's literally what it's for.
Yeah. Oh, an update from last week. None of my friends listened to the toast. I thought they would all be texting me clamoring for a ride. It wasn't until 2 days later that Rachel, who is pregnant, like literally 8 months pregnant, so we gave her a pass. She's like, oh my God, am I the last one to text? I'm like, Rachel, you're the first one to text. Then once Rachel texted me, Margo and Abe were like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? I didn't listen. And now everyone wants a ride. So now, if you could just pause for a second. Ben, I'm podcasting in here. If you could stop shaking the tums like you are in a mariachi band, okay? Oh, okay, fine. It's raining. It's raining. Oh, okay. It's raining. Okay.
Okay. Theo needs I didn't a bath. Stop okay. mine. Did you stop yours?
No. I think it's fine. I was just yelling at Ben.
You could just leave it. Yeah. So do you think that it was just a fluke that Margo and Abe didn't hear that episode, or they're kind of like lying about how into the toast they are?
I think Margo and Abe don't support me. And you know what? Now that I've said that, we'll see. We'll see.
What a frightening car ride. You in the driver's seat, two people in the back who you feel aren't supporting you. Yeah. What is Turdy going to do?
And the only person I have on my side is Rachel, and she's 8 months pregnant. She can't really defend me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, she could defend you like emotionally. Verbally, yeah. But if it comes to blows.
It'll make for a very interesting book club.
It will. Well, I'm excited.
What did you read?
For you. I read Freda McFadden, Never Lie, because you recommended it. I did really like it. Not as much as The Housemaid, and I didn't find it as spooky as you said. Like, you were like, and that was the night that you screamed at Ben.
Yeah.
I literally wasn't reading it before bed. I was reading my nonfiction book because I was like, I don't want to read spookiness before bed, but I did not find it that spooky.
Oh, my God. I was, like, immediately spooked from the second I stepped into that house.
Oh, no, I wasn't. But it was very twist and turn. I did not predict any of it.
Me neither.
I like thought I knew what was going to happen. I was like, fuck, I've spoiled the book for myself.
Yeah, but because then I think you're supposed to think.
I think you're supposed to think that her fiance
is EJ.
Because his
they
name
both
is
like
Ethan.
Wine.
They both like wine. They both picked the South African wine. They both have wealthy deceased parents.
Yeah. But I was like, there's no way. Because it was honestly like so obvious.
No, but I was like, I'm just so good now. Like, I've read so many books. I finally, you can't pull one over on me.
You thought you were better than everyone.
I literally was going to text you and be like, oh, Claudia, I think I spoiled the book for myself.
No, I know.
But no, it wasn't that. Unspoiler alert. And then I read the new A.R. Torrey book. She wrote one of our favorite books, Every Last Secret.
Which one's that about? Nina?
Nina, yeah.
Yeah.
So the new book is called A Fatal Affair. And
I started it last night.
It was so good. It's more mystery than thriller. Like, I didn't feel like it's like so fast paced, like, you know.
No, it's giving like SVU.
Yeah, it's giving SVU like whodunit.
Yeah, I'm like 5% in. I started last night.
Yeah, it took me a while to, not a while, maybe like 20%. It doesn't grip you like Frida does. Mm. But the story was really paying off and I really enjoyed it and I did not see it coming.
I think next we need to read The Inmate by Frida. That's what everyone's recommending to me.
Frida. Where did Frida come from?
I have no fucking idea. Michelle from my book club like recommended one Frida book to me. And then I started seeing the book everywhere. Like everyone was posting The Housemaid. And I just fell in love. Her books are like really good length. And she's good with the spin. Like you never know what the thing is going to be.
Right. And she's a good writer. And they're all on Kindle Unlimited.
They're all on Kindle Unlimited. By the way, Fatal Affair is on Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did see that. No, and it's like, I just feel like Frida came out of nowhere and all of a sudden, like, she's the new it girl. She's the new girl in town.
That's a guy on a string.
And I swear she writes a book every 6 months.
No, she's literally amazing.
No, she's amazing. And the Kindle Unlimited of it all. You pay for Kindle Unlimited, right?
Yeah, it's an amazing, because if you read a lot of thrillers and a lot of smut, like, it's full of Kindle on Kindle Unlimited.
Most of the time, I have Kindle Unlimited, and most of the books I read are never on it. But, like, since I've been reading a lot of thrillers in the last 2 months, yeah. Like, now it's like, you gotta release one from your shelf. You have too many Kindle Unlimiteds.
Wait, what?
Like, I download the book. And uh-huh. Then you can only have so many free books on your Kindle. So then you have to release one if you want to download another one.
That's never happened to me.
Huh, maybe you have a better plan.
Maybe, but I think I just did like the entry plan. Like I did the trial and then they started charging me.
That's so crazy.
They've never said release. I don't ever
remember. Oh, I have to like look through what I have on Kindle Unlimited and give one back. But it's fine because I've already read it.
Not them acting like the library. Like, there's infinite digital copies. Just stop.
No, it's so true. And it's like...
It's so stupid.
It really is. But it does make me think about what I have there. And I saw a book there that I never read that now I want to read. I didn't know I had it, so...
Well, I like... So far, I think Kindle Unlimited is worth the whatever it is, like $6 a month.
Yeah, especially if your categories are very unlimited. Historical fiction is not on Kindle Unlimited.
No, it's not.
But you could also only shop Kindle Unlimited books and then not be surprised if something's not on it.
Yeah.
So.
So what else? Before we dive in, I feel like this is one of our longest pre-Fast Five banters.
I mean, a Monday is always going to be a lot of banter, especially because we weren't together and we really didn't catch up. And the catch up that we did have, you don't remember.
So true.
So what is a girl to do?
What's a girl gotta do? A turdy's gonna turd.
But
I mean, we could talk about how Taylor played Dear John and Daylight in Minneapolis this weekend.
I know. Even I felt that.
That was deep. And she gave like a little speech before Dear John.
She did.
She basically was like, listen, I'm re-releasing this album not because I'm still mad about the stuff that I wrote about. So don't feel the need to like defend me to people who you think like did me wrong. Like basically being like, just back off John Mayer. I think that's pretty much what she was saying.
I just feel like if John Mayer gets a lot of heat from the album, like he's not going to take it quietly. Like he's going to come back swinging at all the fans and Taylor inadvertently too. And like she just doesn't want to go toe to toe with John Mayer.
Yeah, no, but I mean...
I think she knew that Jake Gyllenhaal would just, like, you know, clam up.
Yeah, like, he was never gonna... Because Jake Gyllenhaal, like, has a really unspoken about and weird pattern of dating, like, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Yes. So, like, he's never gonna come out and defend himself. Like, he's just gonna let it... And you know what? It passed. It's over, because everyone's on to John Mayer now.
But, like, if that sort of tidal wave comes for John Mayer, he's coming out swinging.
Yeah, he's not gonna, like, take it laying down. And you know what's so interesting? And, like, something about the Swifties that it's, like, funny, but, like... I don't know how I feel about it. Like, whenever I'm on TikTok and I come across a video from John Mayer's TikTok or Karlie Kloss, the comments, like, there's not one comment. Like, Karlie, you look beautiful. Like, it's literally, like, gold eyes, like, quoting, like, Taylor Swift lyrics. Like, and it's so crazy how, like, people can't, you know, people who were once in Taylor's life and who are not now, like, can't move on.
Well,
I'm sure they have, but like...
They have, but that's so funny. I would never think like, oh, Carly, you know, struggles with her comments because they're all about Taylor Swift.
I'm surprised she hasn't turned her comments off. Like, any song that people perceive to be about Carly, the lyrics are just, like, they flood her comments.
That's really crazy. And the Swifties need to get a grip.
I know. It's like, you have to let people... No one's going to want to get close to Taylor, like, if we keep acting this way.
It's true.
So maybe that's, like, part what she was saying.
Yeah. But I think she also just doesn't want to, like, she's not putting out this album to get into a public feud with John Mayer.
Right. This is 15 years ago or right. whatever. 10.
So, like, she wants to own her masters. Let the girl own her masters. Please don't embarrass her.
Mm-hmm.
But people are not going to be able to accept that.
No. Like, I do think Taylor saying something, like, might make an impact, but not, not it's not going to completely eradicate the problem.
No. But you know what? It's good for, like, me because then I won't, like, dive into the Harbor. Lyrics again. Yeah, I'm not gonna like think too hard about it. But she put out 10-minute version, which just gave us like so much more information that we were just processing for the first time. So
people are having the same experience because she just released Would Have, Could Have, Should Have.
Right.
And Would Have, Could Have, Should Have is, you know, believed to be about John Mayer. So it's like, all right, you said you're over it, but like you did just release a song that's about it.
Okay, well, not everyone has to make sense all of the time.
I agree, by the way. I agree.
There can be some inconsistencies.
No, one thing about me, like, I'm going to contradict myself.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Things are fluid, constantly changing.
Life is just constantly in motion.
Yeah, well, we do have a Taylor story, so we'll talk our swirly then. Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by Babbel. If you have an upcoming summer trip abroad, our go-to travel hack is Babbel. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or embarking on your first adventure, communication, or as I like to say, comunicado, is key to fully experiencing a new culture. And that's where Babbel comes in. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. And thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, there's still time to learn a new language before you reach your destination. So if you're traveling, it's just like so much safer. It's such a better experience to like have a grip on the language before you go. But even if you're not traveling, like a really good thing to challenge your mind, like as an adult who's out of school, take a new language. It's like so good if you want to feel like morally and ethically superior to other people, like I did when I read my book. Learn a new language. You can just be like, yeah, I've taken up German. Like I'm just like feeling it. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start navigating and having real-life conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Their expertly crafted lessons are built around real life, so you'll learn how to have a practical conversation about travel, relationships, business, and more. Babbel has 14 different languages that you can choose from. There are so many different ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to the lessons, you can get podcasts, games, videos, stories, even live classes. It comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee, so start your new language learning journey with Babbel. Right now, you can get up to 55% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/toast. That's babbel.com/toast for up to 55% off your subscription. So take the plunge, you guys. Babbel, it's language for life. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is everything to sell anything. Squarespace has the tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. So whatever type of business, I don't know what kind of business you in, if you're a businesswoman special, you want to invent a post-it, whatever business, a side hustle, e-commerce you want to get into, most likely it'll require a website. And starting a website from scratch, creating one, is literally so hard. People literally go to college for like 6 years for it. Squarespace is making it so easy. You will get a website that is professional looking, that has all the tools that you need, whether it's e-commerce, a blog, and it'll get done really easily. So check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. So whether you want to, you know, connect your social media accounts to a website, get traffic overview, own your content. That's what I love about Squarespace. You own all the content that you put on the Squarespace platform because they have a one-click data portability. You get really good analytics, insight, traffic overview. You can connect your social media accounts. You can send out email campaigns, share on social, all the stuff. So check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/TOAST. And that offer code is TOAST, TOAST, for 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, YouTube star Mr. Beast says he was invited to join the Titanic submersible trip, and he said no. YouTube star Mr. Beast, you guys might know him as Do Better Beast, was invited to join explorers on the Titan submersible, but ultimately turned down the offer to do so. The content creator and philanthropist wrote on Twitter on Sunday that he was offered a spot to see the Titanic wreckage. He said no, kind of scary that I could have been on it, quote.
Did you hear that thunder?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's like thunder. Feel the thunder.
Oh, I'm thinking like rain was driving, thunder, lightning.
That's good too. Okay, I saw this.
Do you know what that means?
What?
If there's thunder, it's a chilly day.
Oh my God, it's such a chilly day, especially because Ben's bringing from home. I'm literally ordering all the ingredients right when this is over.
Honestly, you should order them now, have Ben get to work, bring chili over, because it's like Harry needs chili.
By the way, I like that idea. If Ben's free tonight, he might have a stupid basketball league, but if he's free, we'll all come over for chili. That's so nice.
That's so nice.
Okay, wait, back to Mr. Beast. I actually follow, weirdly, Mr. Beast on Twitter, so I saw him tweet this, and I was like, that's so crazy. But it's not, like, that surprising, because we were literally talking last week about how this company had, like, had all these, like, you know, maritime content creators come on in the last few years and reach out to work with them. So it's not shocking. It's so scary. And I just, I'm glad he shared this. Like, I found it so interesting.
Yeah. A lot of other people, and people went too, and those maritime content creators like have content from when they went. So everyone's just like coming forward with their experiences, either going or almost going. Apparently the father-son duo who perished on the submersible, the mother spoke out and said that she was actually supposed to go with her husband, but that her son really wanted to go.
Okay. Because a family member,
the aunt said he didn't want to go. Had spoken out
and said he was like dreading it, begging not to go.
Right, but he only did it like to please his father for Father's Day.
Okay. Well, you know what? The mom probably knows better.
Yeah, and also that he's really good at Rubik's Cubes.
Yes, and he brought one with him. He was practicing because he was trying to break like a world record or something.
And I think he wanted to break it on the sub.
Oh.
I can't.
Oh my God, the story's so sad.
It really is. And the mom also said that even though the U.S. Navy had heard that the implosion, like the day that the sub went missing, that they didn't tell the families that.
Yeah, well, I saw a bunch of people giving like their thoughts on why the Navy. There was like no way to know that this sound had anything to do with the missing. Like this ocean, especially in that like dark, deep water, like makes crazy sounds.
Of course, but through all those days, like they're banging every 30 minutes is what we hear. Like they were giving us all
it should have been
little,
brought up.
They were giving us all these crumbs, and it was like, that's a really big crumb. And it's also like Navy technology, not just like ocean. Like it's pretty legit. And even if it winds up not being what we think it is, like they were sharing every little fart they heard in the ocean. And you heard something that you think like very well could be an implosion. That's something that at least the family should have known.
The families, yeah.
But also the public, because you were telling us everything.
Yeah. Do you see that Netflix is now adding Titanic back to the platform starting July 1st?
I did. And obviously that's, you know, an opportunistic decision. But I think...
I saw people online, like, really mad at Netflix, like, saying it's so insensitive. And, like, I don't, like, really disagree.
You think it's really insensitive.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just, like, a sheer coincidence. Like, a few times a year, a ton of shit gets taken on and a ton of shit taken off. Like,
every month.
Yeah, it could be, like, a complete coincidence and, like, it got made into a news story, obviously, just because of what happened. But...
Let's operate that it's not a coincidence, even though it might be. What are your thoughts if it's not a coincidence?
It's just, like, my overall thoughts on this thing. It's, like, yeah, everyone's so invested, and people are, like, making jokes about it, and, like, some of them are funny, but, like, at the end of the day, like, five people died. Like, innocent people, like, who were just, you know, trying to have some fun, even though we think it's crazy, like, they were just, like, trying to have fun, and they died. And, like, one of them is a child. So, I don't know. I don't know, like... Because where internet culture gets so, you just like forget when you're like so deep on the internet that like this is like a real thing that happened to real people. So like I understand like the tweets and the memes. Like I think some of them are funny. Like I do. I don't know. It's just like every time I'm talking about the submersible, like after 30 minutes, I'm like, wait, this is wrong. Like I can't explain it.
No, I understand. But I don't think that Netflix putting Titanic on the platform, like it is a little opportunistic and they know that people are really interested in the Titanic right now, but I don't think it's that offensive. One, you know, I think if you actually take the time to watch the movie, like you'll come away from it being like, oh shit, like that is like a mass grave. Like a lot of people lost their lives. Like, you know, maybe you'll stop chuckling for a second. It's not just like a joke.
Yeah.
You know, because even if they had put, you know, a Titanic documentary up, a lot of people are interested in the Titanic right now. Like, I don't think that's right. I really don't think that's so bad compared to some of the other awful takes I've seen. But no, if people want to learn about the Titanic and also like this thing that all those people essentially died
obsessed
for,
with,
you know, and so it's like, but then also more people are going to become obsessed.
So true.
Because it's a magnet.
It's a magnet. It's trouble.
But we were just saying how you and Ben should watch Titanic. You've never seen it. And it's obviously a topic of conversation. Netflix is just catering to that.
Yeah, I guess, like, honestly, when you explain it that way, it's like, no, it's not so bad.
And it's an amazing movie that they worked so hard on that should be seen by more people.
You know what? I agree.
Like, I don't know how much of Gen Z has seen Titanic. They weren't alive when it came out.
No, I agree.
And it's a true story. Well, it's historical fiction, Jack and Rose. We're not real, but there's a lot of really true elements. And at the end of the day, it's a good take. Like, the lesson that we learned from the Titanic, which was not learned in this case of the submersible, and literally James Cameron said that, which was that, like, they rushed measures and they cut corners in order to, you know, do this really cool new thing. And that's exactly what happened with the ship itself.
Oh, my God. It's so true. Huh.
Because they wanted to, like, break the record for the fastest crossing because it was going so well. And it was a moonless night and they hit an iceberg. And if they had been a little slower, they might have seen it. If they'd been using – they didn't have binoculars on board.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, but I in the book I read, it was like, yeah, that sounds dumb, but
– that was actually,
like, pretty common. Yeah. There was, like
– got it.
They had a decent – it wasn't like they just forgot them.
Right. I mean, that would be crazy.
Yeah, but they were going really fast and there was – they couldn't see anything. Because it was moonless.
Right. What's moon? Like the moon was behind the clouds?
Yeah. Or like if it's like a small moon.
Sliver. Interesting.
But if it's a full moon, you can see more.
Yeah.
Maritime tings. You can see more before Turdy goes overboard.
Turdy Lou is definitely going overboard.
That's for sure.
That's for damn.
So are you ready for our next story?
No, I, like, haven't been able to stop thinking about anything but the chili since you brought it up.
I know. It's such a chilly day, and you usually don't get a chilly day in June.
In the summer, yeah.
Maybe you want to fire off a text to Ben or just, like, place an Instacart order?
I'll do it after. It's still early. It's, like, not even 10:30. Like, I can wait.
That's true. But, like, I would love an afternoon chili because I don't want to, you know, have it for a late dinner and just, you know, heft up. Plus, the heartburn would be horrible for me.
But it'll be worth it for Ben's chili.
Oh, yeah, but no, I just can't go to sleep soon thereafter or I'll wake up in pain. Our next story, a little nuptial news. John Hamm marries his fiancée, Anna Osceola, where they filmed the Mad Men finale. So this story is really interesting.
It's very Mad Men filled.
It is, because John Hamm married his girlfriend, Hamm? Fiancée. Hamm? Is that what I said?
John Hamm. Yeah, John you just Hamm. Give him like kind of like a British.
That's how he pronounces it.
Yeah.
And they got married in Big Sur, California. Now, his now wife, Anna, was on an episode of Mad Men that was filmed in Big Sur, California, but she was like an extra.
She was a receptionist at that facility he went to.
Right. And
her name was Clementine.
They met then. He was with a longtime partner. Oh. I don't know what happened between them, if anything happened. That was filmed in 2015. And then John Hamm didn't split from his partner until a few years ago.
I had no idea that John Hamm had a girlfriend, had a fiance. I had no idea. Like, if you would have asked me, I either would have said he's single or he's been married 100 years. Like, he's not like very public with his relationships. I feel like he doesn't even have social media.
He was previously in a long-term relationship with actress and screenwriter Jennifer Westfeldt from 1997 to 2015. And then 2015 is when they filmed.
Well, something.
Turdy Lou, are you understanding?
Oh, Jennifer Westfeldt. Yeah, I know this bitch. She is from one of my least favorite movies.
She's from Younger.
Yes, she plays Peter Herman's ex-wife.
But it was 2015 they split up and it was 2015 that they filmed.
Yeah.
I thought there was like, oh, he met her, he went home to his wife, and then they reconnected years later.
I feel like she's also from He's Just Not That Into You. Maybe not. Yeah, there's definitely something. There's a timeline overlap, something.
That's just like so crazy that really an extra could catch his eye like that.
Yeah, I mean, this girly is giving extras everywhere, like hope.
It's really beautiful, and it's cute that they got married in the place that they met. I kind of feel like it's a coincidence.
I think it is, too. I think Big Sur is like a, you know, a destination, a popular destination. Weddings, people from California. It's definitely a coincidence. And actually, I don't know.
I don't know.
The actual scene that they filmed together was in Big Sur?
Yeah.
It's got to mean something.
Yeah. And now that I realize, like, it was 2015 that they met and it was 2015 that he left Jennifer, like, it was Big Sur that brought them together.
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, this is like a shady, like, time lapse.
You know what? It's giving, like, Don Draper and Megan.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that Jennifer is Betty.
Like, part of me, like, always wanted Betty and Don Draper to get back together, even though, like, he was so toxic. And, like, she was so much happier with, like, her new man in her big house, like, political king. Like, I loved how it ended for both of them, but, like, I did ship.
Not how it ended.
Why how did it end?
Spoiler alert. I think Betty died.
What?
She had cancer.
Wait. I need to Google this.
Hold on. Let me Google it.
Wait. Why do I not remember her dying?
Do you remember her having cancer?
Kind of.
Yeah. And then, you know, the last few episodes of, like, any show are just kind of like a hodgepodge. And you don't remember the details. You remember the show as it was and, like, the storylines. Not really the ending so much. Like, how did it even end for Don?
Yeah, it's like one of the, like, most, like, debated endings in TV history.
Right, but, like, even in the few episodes before the ending, like, he was, like, in a diner. What was he doing?
He was struggling. He went to rehab.
Yeah, see, towards the end, it's just, like...
Yeah, it's all a blur.
Yeah.
Well, this ending is happy for Jon Hamm. I'm happy for him.
I'm happy for him, too. Are you ready?
Are those pictures of him in the gray sweatpants?
Yeah.
That's what I think about when I think about Jon Hamm.
Oh, it's not what I think about. I really think about Don Draper, and then my second thought is, like, Jon Hamm is actually, like, a clown and so unlike Don Draper. And not a clown in a negative way. Like, he's so silly and unserious.
Goofy. Actually, what I think about a lot when I think of Jon Hamm, which is pertinent, is his role in 30 Rock. And Tina Fey was at the wedding.
Yeah. He plays the Reverend. No, in Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they are really tight because she did Kimmy Schmidt, too. But I think of him as her neighbor who she becomes obsessed with and then dates.
Yeah, but he, like, is too good looking and he doesn't have the...
He doesn't live in the real world.
He doesn't suffer from the perils of being average looking.
Right, right. That was such a funny episode.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into our next story. I want to get your take. Taylor Swift apparently rejected Meghan Markle's invitation to appear on her now-canceled podcast.
Which isn't a crazy story until you learn what happened, actually. Like, Meghan wrote a handwritten personal letter to Taylor, like, really, like, passionate about how she wanted Taylor on her show. And Taylor's representative said no. Like, it didn't even get a response from Taylor.
Yeah, so Meghan reportedly penned a personal note to Taylor asking the pop star to be a guest on Archetypes, only to be shut down. Taylor rejected the invitation, according to the Wall Street Journal, and didn't even bother responding herself, instead having a rep decline on her behalf in what could be seen as a diss to the Duchess. So I have a lot of thoughts on this. My first thought, which is actually not my lasting thought, but my initial thought was, like, she was dating Joe at the time. And at the time,
I thought the same.
Like, the entire time that Meghan's been, like, with Harry, Taylor's been with Joe. And, like, if Joe is a royalist,
like a monarchist,
right, then maybe he influenced Taylor to, like, have negative thoughts about what Meghan and Harry did.
Jackie, I literally thought the same thing.
But then I was like, okay, that's, like, kind of pie in the sky. But now that I think about it, like, and we know what Meghan's show was, it's all about, like, labels and kind of, like, having her guests, like, break down their walls and, like, talk about these things that people call them and, like, that which is, like, an insecurity for them.
Mm-hmm. It's a vulnerable space.
And I just don't feel like Taylor is going to go and bear all on a podcast and Meghan Markle said that.
And there are so few moments in time where Taylor does interviews. She's obviously, when she's, like, promoting an album. So it's entirely possible that when this request came in, Taylor pretty much never does press unless it's like the weeks leading up to an album release. And then she'll do like Zane Lowe and a bunch of different like GMA.
But talking she's about not the music though. But like to just sit and talk about herself in such a raw conversation, like I just feel like.
And she doesn't know Megan.
And I feel like Megan's show, it's not what I would think of as like really having like genuine conversation. It was very like scripted, and it's just like not where you're going to go and really bare your soul. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like that's what she would have wanted from Taylor. And I agree with you. Maybe like Taylor just said no because she was like not in press mode. But why not respond to the personal letter?
Yeah, no, that part feels like a slight.
The Morgan letters.
The Morgan ladders went unresponded to.
The Markle ladders.
I don't know what it means. It's also entirely possible that, like, she just gets so many requests. Like, this one's not particularly special. Like, yeah, she's a duchess, sure. But, like, I'm sure Oprah wants to interview Taylor. Like, I'm sure she gets the best of the best.
Yeah, I'm sure that she does. And if she was going to do that sort of interview, it would be with someone who has, like, a
more established track platform, audience.
Of having really, like, personal conversations that are well received. I'm not gonna like, you know, give you my heart and soul for the first season of your podcast that you're trying to make fetch happen.
So like random tangent, but you should watch, you know, Kelly went on Howard Stern.
I saw a clip.
I've seen a few clips. You should watch the whole thing. I think they get like real, real deep. She also did like a great interview with Andy. She's being like so open. Andy was like, I'm so mad about how much money you have to pay your ex-husband. She's like, you're mad?
Damn, Kelly.
Like, she's being savage. And Andy, like, you know, Andy's so, like, gossipy. He really brought it out. Like, the Howard Stern interview was, like, you know, a lot of, I think maybe this was her first time on Howard Stern. So it was, like, her whole career, you know, obviously divorce, but also, like, breakaway. Like, talking about everything more at a glance. Whereas Andy obviously keeps up with pop culture and he's talking about, like, what's going on right now.
Yeah. No, I've seen, she's been making the rounds and I've seen some clips, but I haven't dove in.
You should. She's so funny. And you know what I love about Kelly? Like what I've noticed just from watching it. I feel like up until this album release, like she doesn't like do interviews a lot. She's more of an interviewer.
Yeah.
So I'm learning a lot about her, and like nobody makes Kelly laugh more than Kelly. Like she's always answering questions and just cackling. And I love that. Like she makes herself cackle. That's so me.
That's so me too.
Yeah, it's no, so she's us. Like she's literally answering a question and she's like keeled over. Like she can't stop laughing at her own response.
That's so funny.
I love that about her.
That's really cute. I also haven't listened to the whole album yet. So that's why I'm not like ready to hear her talk about, like I want to experience it. And I've only listened to like the first three songs or something.
Okay.
Like I just haven't been in a music space. Maybe tomorrow, like while I do my makeup, because I'm coming to the studio.
Jackson Studio.
Can't wait. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Our next two stories, actually, fourth and fifth, are both some book news. Fourth being that what's-her-face, Colleen Hoover.
What's-her-face?
Sorry. It says it ends with us author. I'm like, no, Colleen Hoover.
What's her name? Yeah.
Colleen Hoover addresses. Sorry, Colleen. I'm just, you know, pregnancy.
No disrespect.
But it is such a disrespectful thing to say, what's-her-face.
It's literally the most disgusting thing you could say. Like, what's her name? Like, but tell me you care less about someone than calling her what's her name.
I care.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm saying just like, what's her name? Like that whole thing in general.
But I just meant like, you know, what's her name? Pregnancy brain. Yeah. Sorry, Colleen.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Colleen Hoover addresses controversy surrounding the casting of Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. So at Book Bonanza, Colleen Hoover spoke about the upcoming movie adaptation of It Ends With Us and addressed some of the controversy surrounding the film. And actually, some of it, what she said, was straight facts. So since announcing that Blake and Justin will play Lily and Ryle in the film, Colleen has faced backlash because of the significant age discrepancies between the actors and their characters. Blake is 35, while Lily was 23, and Justin is 39, while Ryle is 30. Now, five
months. Not so bad.
Not so bad, but the Blake Lively one for sure. Yeah. 5 months after their casting, Hoover has an explanation for the age gap. She said, back when I wrote It Ends With Us, the new adult genre was very popular. You were writing college age characters. That's what I was contracted to do. Then she said, I didn't know that neurosurgeons went to school for 50 years. There's not a 20-something year old neurosurgeon. She viewed the adaptation as an opportunity to remedy her error. She said, I started making this movie. I'm like, we need to age them out because I messed up. So that's my fault. So she made the characters age appropriate to the story. Because otherwise, people who, like, never read the book would be like, okay, this 29-year-old neurosurgeon?
Can't be a neurosurgeon. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I feel that. And it's probably something that bothered her. And she's not going to do it twice.
No, that I understand.
But then also she talks about the clothes. But first she said that she is so happy with the cast, especially Blake Lively, who she's been obsessed with since Gossip Girl. Then she said, people are upset about the outfits and whatnot. Her advice is simply to wait until the film hits theaters. She said she loves the costuming conversations that set photos from the film have generated, and she has a message for her fans. You've seen a couple of outfits that are completely out of context. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because, like, you know, we only saw her outside, and it's very possible, like, when she's outside, she just grabbed her shit and ran because her husband is crazy. Like, maybe that's what we were seeing.
Maybe. And she said, I don't remember describing outfits at all, like, in the book. I don't care what they have on. In my head, it's about the conversation they're having in the story. Which I agree about a book, but, like, a movie is a very visual experience. And, like, outfits maketh characters.
No, when people describe, like, what they're wearing or how they look in a book, it goes in one ear and out the other. Like, they will tell me that this character, is blonde, like, 1,000 times. In my mind, she has red hair. Like, it doesn't stick with me. Like, visual descriptions are irrelevant. But this is a movie.
No, I know. And that's so funny because when we do Redheads episodes, sometimes the Hollywood treatment, like, we choose different hair colors and we're like, wait, she was a brunette. And you're just like, it doesn't matter. I didn't see it like that.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, one of my favorite books is One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid. And, like, the main character has a pixie cut. And when I tell you, I read that and, like, threw it out. Like, it was irrelevant because she was, like, a cute little blonde girl with, like, hair down to her ankles. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. So that does give me, like, a little more hope for the movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first thing makes sense. That doesn't make it better, but it makes sense. The second thing is actually, like, that's facts. Like, we literally saw 3 outfits. How many outfits? The movie takes course over the, like, I think, like, a few years.
Yeah, but also now it's a little bit confusing on the other end because I feel like so much of the story is about, like, Lily being young and a little naive and, like, caught up in this relationship. But if she's 35, like, she has years, she should have, like, be a little more.
More, yeah. No, that's fair.
Experience and, you know, what were her other relationships like in the 20 years since Atlas?
Right, because that's true. Because, like, in the book, she's, like, literally on her own for the first time. And, like, that makes her so much more vulnerable and susceptible to, like, a powerful, rich man who's older than her.
Who's, like, saying all the right things and she's not, like, you know, looking out
for it. Sure, so she just runs away and gets married. Like, it's not crazy because she's, you know, with someone who gets it.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
So we'll see how Colleen figures that one out. How Colleen sees it. And then our fifth and final story
is brought to you by BetterHelp. So thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode of The Toast. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices, and the path forward isn't always clear. So whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself and to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? BetterHelp is done entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That's one of the best things about BetterHelp, I feel. If you've done traditional therapy, you know that, like, the first or second or third person you meet, like, might not be the right match for you, but it can get, like, really awkward, like, when you have to tell them and, like, leave, and it's just, like, the waiting room. There's a lot of, like, awkward social interaction. But with BetterHelp, it's done entirely online. It's so not a big deal if you want to switch therapists, and you can communicate with your therapist in whatever way you're comfortable with. So they offer video chat, phone call, texting, whatever medium makes you the most comfortable, you can do. So let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. There's never a bad time to start taking charge of your mental health. Your mental health is so important. Think of it like brain camp. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/toast. BetterHelp.com/TOAST. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode.
Thank you, Claudia. Our fifth and final story is a little more author news. Ellen Hildebrand is on her book tour for her new book, and she's sharing what's next in her career. She said she's kind of like done with writing about Nantucket.
Yeah, she was on what, like GMA or something, or the Today Show?
CBS This Morning.
Oh, wow, okay. And she basically was like, I mean, Nantucket's really small. Like, I've literally written about, like, every place, every corner. Like, I might have to move.
No, I know. But I just thought, since she's written so many books about a place that's so small, it's like, then she could write so many more, because I feel like there would only be, like, 3 or 4 books to write. But she's literally written 30. So what's 40?
I do love – I mean, it's obviously, like, a privileged position to be in, to, like, to be able to go out on top and, like, decide, like, I'm done.
Well, so she's – talks about like the next step for her, or like the next thing she's going to do, which is actually really funny because it's exactly what we were just talking about. She has a podcast coming out. It's called like Beach Books and something, and they have like authors on, and it's giving Carrie Bradshaw, like, wrote all these books, now as a podcast. But also what I found really interesting is that she's co-authoring a book with her daughter about two books about like a New England boarding school, which sounds so good.
That does sound so good. And you know what's so funny? Ellen Hildebrand, I feel like somebody said this. It might have been me, but it might have been someone else. That Ellen Hildebrand is the Nancy Myers of writing?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't say that? Okay.
No, because I did a Q&A. Not me, like, trying to take credit. Like, taking book suggestions, yes, recommendations, and someone was like, what's a book that gives, like, Nancy Myers vibes? And I was like, Golden Girl by Ellen Hildebrand. And now that I think about it, Ellen Hildebrand is the Nancy Myers of books.
Facts. Okay. Like, I resonated with that so much, I actually thought that I said it. you ever have that feeling where, like, it's so true, like, I made it up?
Yeah, no, totally. Or it's like, it's even nicer that you thought, like, maybe you saw it on TikTok and it's just like this viral thought that we all agree with.
But Nancy Myers works a lot with her daughter on, like, projects. I feel like we were just talking about that. And Ellen's doing the same.
Yeah. No, so that's a really cool position to be in. And then I feel like her daughter went to a New England boarding school, so she can give her mom, like, the facts and, like, you know, the actual logistics. And then her mom can write, like, a great story. But Ellen Hildebrand also writes a lot of stories set in the Virgin Islands. That's like the other place that she
really
frequents a lot. Yeah, like, if you I read her Winter in Paradise series, which I didn't really like, but it was 3 books all set in like Virgin Gorda.
Oh my god, I love the Virgin Islands. It's like one of my favorite places.
You should read the Paradise series.
Yeah, I've been to Virgin Gorda,
and there's 3, and they're really like quick and short and cute. But so she's done a lot of like stuff there too.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, she's a queen. She could do whatever she wants. And if she wants to compete with the redheads, like, come at me, bro, with her podcast.
Just like you said, there's space for everyone.
There's definitely space for Ellen. But literally, it's so funny because I was trying to think at the beginning of the show of like a writer who then like now does a podcast. Yep.
And who's like getting older.
Yeah, Ellen Hildebrand. Except like she's definitely going to keep writing.
And she should. And her books aren't getting worse. They're getting better.
They're getting better. Well, she just came out with a new book, so she's doing like a press for it, which is why she was on CBS Morning. It's called like the 5-Star Weekend or something.
Great. I mean, her most recent book was
Hotel Nantucket. Ghost.
Yeah, I like that one. It was a little spooky, like
5 Keys.
5 Keys. Yeah, that's what it was reminding me of.
And before that was Golden Girl, which was so good.
Golden Girl. I have made everyone in the book club read it because everyone loves Ellen Hildebrand, but I feel like that wasn't one of hers that like popped off. So most of them hadn't read it. And oh my God, everyone's obsessed with Golden Girl. And if you like, it's just, I just love that book.
I love it too. And like everything she does, she really never flops. Even her books that I'm like aren't my favorite, still I'm recommending it to you, the Paradise series.
Totally.
Because I think you would really like it. It was just what wasn't for me.
I was going to say something. I keep trying to say it.
And before that was like 28 Summers.
Also good.
Which had everyone in a chokehold.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. And then also her book is being made into a show. So she's like booked and busy.
That's what I was saying. Is that which one is being made?
28? Perfect Couple.
The Perfect Couple. So she obviously like is making a lot of money. Netflix just announced the cast. It's like Nicole Kidman, Megan Fahey, Dakota Fanning. Like it's star-studded. Ellen's fine.
No, Ellen is fine, and she is busy. It's not just a once-a-week podcast she's working on.
No, she's booked and busy.
Yeah.
And if you ever want to meet her, I think you just have to go to Nantucket and, like, walk the streets for 5 minutes, and she's there. Like, she's a Nantucket celebrity.
Yeah, that's what Snitch and her friends did.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they met Ellen.
Yeah. But they also took that trip because of Hotel Nantucket.
I also, when I saw what Ellen Hildebrandt looked like, it's so funny when you read books and you become familiar with someone and then, like, you see what they look like. I would have imagined Ellen Hildebrandt to look like Nancy Myers, like, coastal grandmother. But she's, like, very sexy. Have you seen her? She's, like, hot.
Yeah, yeah. But she, to me, she looks like what you think. Like, it's all congruous with her books. Most of the time, I'll, like, read a book or an author, and then I, like, see the author, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's not what I expected.
No, no. When like, the author page comes up, I swipe so fast. Like, I don't want to know what an author looks like. I feel like it really fucks with me.
It really does. For me, it's hard because when we do Redheads, I, like, tag the author, so I have to find their Instagram. And I like to follow every author that we have read.
Yeah. Cute.
And then I see the author.
You know, and it just, like, it gets in your brain, and you need to have, like, a totally unbiased, like, clean slate approach when you're reading a new book.
Yeah, especially in, like, the smut category.
Oh, like, yeah.
Knowing, you know, someone has kids and they wrote, like, it's just, I don't want to know that much. I want it, like, to be anonymous.
I completely agree.
Yeah, we need to go back to, like, pen names.
Yes. Anonymity.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to put it out there. Put it out there.
Put it in the book.
Literally.
Well, those were great stories, Jax. Thanks.
Yeah, they were fun. And I love a little book news. Plus, those are the two queens of the writing world right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I believe that's all she wrote, correct?
That's all we got for you. Tomorrow I'll be back in studio, which I'm really excited about.
Wednesday we have...
GBT.
GBT is making her return. Thursday, you're in studio with me again. And then Friday, remote, because it's Friday. It's like a summer Friday.
And it's like the biggest holiday weekend of all because it's like 5 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we won't be back on the podcast till Wednesday because of July 4th.
Yeah, because July 4th falls on a Tuesday, so you can really extend. Oh, you're going away.
Yeah.
Fun.
But not till Sunday.
Oh, cool. That's what you get when you have a really long weekend.
That's what you get when you let your heart win. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast and Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give us a video thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast, and where podcasts can be found. So Spotify, Juice, Stitcher, Public Radio, Audio, Kissbox, all the places, Playlist, Subscribe, Find Us, Toast, and Five-Star, about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Love ya. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.